Go ahead and open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The title of today's lesson is The Mind of Christ. I don't even have any notes. Thank God forever. Hallelujah. I'm eager to hear the message myself. And I didn't bring it with me, but the last time I ministered, I read a little document. It was kind of a teaching to self. And it was a little more understanding on servants upon horses, which I taught many years ago. Solomon wrote, he said, I've seen a horrible thing. This is terrible. I have seen servants riding upon horses and princes walking. Well, now that's just one of those without the Holy Ghost. I don't think you'll ever get it, you know. But finally, one day in a vision for me, he showed me what was going on there. There's three persons involved in that verse. You got the prince, the servant, and the horse. I guess the horse is not a person, but there's three beings, okay? Well, the horse represents your life and the direction of it. This is where you're going to go. Who is supposed to be sitting in the saddle holding the reins is the prince. And that is your spirit. And the mind, the soul, is supposed to be the servant running alongside as the prince and the horse are going. And the soul, the intellect, the will, the emotions, all of that, that is supposed to be servant to the prince. Now, sadly, in America and probably most of the church world, what has happened, the roles have been reversed. And we've exalted the mind of man, our will, our emotions, what we want, to where pretty much our mind, the mind of man, is sitting in the driver's seat, in the saddle, got the reins. And our spirit has to walk. And that's what Solomon said. This is a horrible thing. The prince should not be walking. The prince is supposed to be directing the horse. Well, what's happening in our generation now, at least, that is being reversed again. Thank God for Dave Roberson, who laid out the walk of the spirit, not the walk of the mind. It's the walk of the spirit, the walk of power. Where little by little, day by day, our spirit is back in control. Now, by the way, our spirit is supposed to be under the control of the head of the church. And that's Jesus Christ. And that's going to bring us to our verse here in just a minute. So in this little vision I had, I saw myself like a little child. And really it was the mind part of me, the Gary part of me, my mind, my will, my emotions. And it went something like this, just a quick little teaching vision. It was like I surrendered finally. I said, all right, I'm not really ever going to fully understand that realm and everything, how you do it. But I've come to the place where I'm going to quit trying to resist you until I do understand. And I saw myself just reach up and put my hand in the hand of the Spirit on the horse and say, I surrender. I trust you. I'll follow you wherever the Lord leads you. And I'll serve you all the days of my life. Now that is where the Lord is bringing us. I believe this lesson kind of follows up with that. So let's start it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which just is an amazing passage here. See, when I say I say the natural part of Gary may not ever fully comprehend the workings of the spirit realm. See, what I mean by that, I believe, like you believe, that Jesus changed water into wine. Now, see, I have just enough engineering in me to be dangerous. I do have an engineering degree. And I have enough to know that water, I remember water, is H2O. And there is no grape in H2O. So if you start off with H2O and you don't add anything to it, see, my natural brain goes tilt. when suddenly that water becomes wine. Because something creative had to happen. Something came into existence. The grape part, the wine part, came into existence that was not there before. Now, how, the chemical, the process of that, the creative process of that, my natural mind may never understand. But you know what my natural mind could do? If I heard the Spirit say, now, take the water, pour it into this kind of jug, dip it out, and take it to the governor of the feast, my mind could follow every one of those instructions. And I don't have to know how he changes the water into the wine. You got that? Now, see, that's a good example, isn't it, of how our natural mind yields to the direction that comes by the Spirit. You don't have to understand how exactly he does those things. But we can sure follow the instructions. We can be that servant, serving the master. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, actually, okay, hold that right there. Go to John 16. I think it'll make more sense if we do it in reverse. John 16. Now, when Jesus spoke these words in John 16, he's talking to the 11. This is before they're born again. So these are natural people. They love Jesus. They've been following Jesus. But they're not born again, meaning the Spirit that is in them was passed down to them from Adam. They have what the Bible calls, here when they get over to 1 Corinthians 2, at this moment, they have within them what the Bible calls the spirit of the world, little s. And that's the natural spirit that everybody's born with, passed down from Adam. I mean, it's your individual spirit, but it was passed down to you from our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Adam and Eve. Amen? And it's the spirit of the world. So you've got these natural men with natural bodies. They've got a natural brain, mind, just like we have today. But they have, when he's saying these words to them, they have the spirit of the world in them. Okay, now, with that understanding, look at verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, I've meditated this. I think about Peter standing there. You know, don't we love Peter? You know, Peter was not so holy that he wouldn't say what all the rest of us was thinking. Peter loved Jesus, and he was a get it on kind of guy, wasn't he? You know, let's get on with this. You know, and I'm trying to meditate it from his point. Now, here's Jesus, whom you have loved and followed for 3.5 years. You know, and he says. You have said in every service, you have heard every message, you have loved the words that have come from this man. And you're standing right there. And he says, Peter, he said to all of them, but I'm trying to meditate it from Peter's point of view. Now, Peter, I have a whole lot of things I've yet to tell you. But I can't tell you right now because you have no capacity to bear them. And I'm thinking, I'm standing right here. Say on, Lord. What do you mean you got stuff to tell me that you can't tell me because I can't bear it? When Dave would give this example, he would give the illustration of a 5-year-old child trying to drive a car. And a normal 5-year-old, it's not that they can't, you know, a 5-year-old, they can be pretty smart. You might get them to even read the driver's manual. You know, they might understand, here's the key, there's the ignition. They might understand. The trouble is, when they sit in the car, their legs won't reach the pedals. They can't bear it. They have no capacity to do it, see? And that's really what he's saying here. Now, with that understanding, come on over to, now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is why they could not bear it. And it starts in verse 12. When he says, now we have received, he's talking about now that we've been born again. Okay? Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Well, now, wait a minute. Again, the Spirit, and I'm just amazed that the King James translators got this right. Notice the little s? And that's correct. When you're born of your mother's womb, when you're conceived in your mother's womb, you're conceived with the spirit of the world. And that's that spirit passed down from Adam, like Dave has taught us so line upon line. They have the mother, Eve is the mother of all living. Doesn't matter what color, I see all colors in here, doesn't matter. Eve's our mother. Adam in the natural, now in the natural, okay? We all go back to the same, that's why the blood will work. We can transfer it from any, as long as you have the same type. Doesn't matter what color, isn't that right? Okay, all right. So that's the spirit of the world. And that's what Peter and the 11 had in them at that moment. And Jesus is saying, as long as you're like this, as long as you have that spirit in you, there's things I just can't tell you. See, so it says here, now we have received, now that you're born again, you not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. When you got born again, that's not some religious term. You were born again. You were born from above. One verse says you were born of the Spirit. Now, I did a teaching a couple of years ago that I called the hula hoop messages. Most of you remember that. And I brought a hula hoop and I just lay it right here about where the dove is. And I was trying to illustrate a mathematical principle, really. Like, that hula hoop represents a two-dimensional universe. There's width and length, but there's no height or depth. It's just like a piece of paper, sheet of paper. You can move around on that sheet, on that sheet of paper, but you can't go up and you can't go down. Okay? So the hula hoop, I said, if you had a being inside that hula hoop in a two-dimensional world, when they got to the edge of that hula hoop, they're trapped. They can't go up, they can't go down, they can't get over it. So they might go all the way around, but it's a hula hoop. And there's no openings. They're eternally trapped. Isn't that right? In a two-dimensional world. But some being that's three-dimensional, like us, if somehow we could see that dilemma of that little creature, well, we could just reach down from our realm, pick the little creature up, which, by the way, what would happen in that world? As soon as you did that, to everybody else, he disappeared. What? Where'd he go? He's gone. You just pick him up. You're trying to help, right? You just pick him up and you'd move him over outside the edge of the hula hoop and you'd set him down. Oh, and by the way, in that world, when you set him down, he reappeared. Everybody go, it's a miracle. It's a sign and a wonder. This has to be God. But you're a three-dimensional creature and you're going, duh. There was never anything more simple from my realm than to just move you over. It's like nothing to me, but to that realm, it's a miracle. Now, we are three-dimensional creatures living in a three-dimensional realm. The realm of the Spirit is a higher dimensional realm. Now, I'm going to use fourth just for teaching purposes. Even mathematically, now, of course, this changes all the time as they learn more, but the last time I read about it, string theory and all of those different things, they've proven mathematically there is at least 11 dimensions. Now, Gary, can you recite that? I just recited all that I know about that, right? I told you I know just enough to be dangerous, okay? But mathematically, it's like E equal MC squared. You know, Einstein figured that out mathematically years before there was any practical application, but it was truth anyway, and he proved it mathematically anyway. Now, the spirit that you were born with from Adam, if you'll allow me, is a three-dimensional spirit. It understands three-dimensional things. Now, I'm not saying it's not eternal. It is. Everybody's going to live forever somewhere. You going to live with God or you going to live with the devil? I prefer God, by the way. I recommend live with God, okay? The price has been paid. It's a free ticket. Get yours punched. Anyway, get saved. But that spirit of the world in 1 Corinthians 2, as long as you have that one in you, you cannot comprehend the things of God. That's he talks. Now, let's just read it now. I'll try and quit teaching so much and just at least read it. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, that spirit of Adam, but the spirit which is of God. And notice they did it correctly, little s. He is talking about your individual, reborn, born of the spirit, human spirit that you have personally. You have one, I have one, they're not the same. You got that? Jesus has one. Jesus has a spirit of his own. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, the life that generated that spirit, you had that same life, but you don't have that same spirit. Okay, that'll mean more as we go along. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Let me say it another way. You no longer have a three-dimensional spirit. You got a fourth-dimensional spirit now. You got a spirit from where God is. You got a spirit born from where he comes from. You got a spirit from that realm now. And it has the capacity to understand spiritual things of God. Okay? Now we have... I can't even seem to make it through one verse today. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And that's why Jesus said to the 11 back there, I have a lot of things to teach you. In fact, hold your place in 1 Corinthians 2. I want you to see the parallel between these two passages. Go back to John 16. See, he gave them a preview. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you. But you cannot bear them now. You're like the five-year-old child. You have no legs to reach the pedals. The spirit that's in you has no capacity to understand the things of God. How be it? Or I like, this is how it be. When he, the spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He's not going to just give you a reborn spirit, which is of God. He is going to send the teacher, the Holy Spirit, to teach that new spirit the things of God. That's why he says, I have yet many things. I have a lot of things I am going to teach you, but I have to wait till you can hear it directly from the Holy Ghost. You're going to have a spirit within you that has the capacity to be taught. Okay, back to 1 Corinthians 2. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things. Now notice that are freely given to us of God. If you write in your Bible, you should write the word inheritance out in the margin. We are going to walk by inheritance, not by works. These things are freely given by God. They're given to us, by the way, of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Now, who did Jesus say was going to teach that reborn spirit? The Holy Ghost is going to teach him, right? Paul says, I'm teaching you what the Holy Spirit has taught me. It's not in the word. You can't go to university, man's university, and find this out from man's wisdom, because they don't have it. The things I'm teaching you are from a different realm. They're from the realm of God. I learned it from the Holy Ghost. I'm communicating it to you. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, whether you know it or not, that verse right there launched Pastor Dave into Chuck the Duck. Chuck the Duck. You remember the Chuck the Duck that was raised by chickens?
Yeah.
But they kept telling Chuck he was a chicken. Now, he didn't look like the other chickens. He had a broad bill. He had webbed feet. I mean, they would peck the ground and get you know, little bugs and seeds and stuff. He'd try and flap. He'd try and bam, bam with that flat bill, and it wasn't working so well. And his mama always warned him, don't you go near the water. Chickens don't swim. Now, don't you go near that water. And so even though he was a duck, he was raised by chickens. And so he had the mind of a chicken. He thought like a chicken, and he acted like a chicken, even though he wasn't a chicken. But one day he saw an amazing sight. He saw something that looked like him flying, swooped down onto the water. Boy, he ran over, and he's looking, and he's comparing duck things with duck things. He's looking at that one, and it had a bill just like his. And that duck began to talk to Chuck. Duck to Chuck. Spirit to spirit. You got this? Spirit to spirit, duck to duck. He says, how come you don't get in the water? Oh, my mama warned me. Chickens don't get in the water. He said, well, that's fine for chickens, but why don't you get in? Well, I'm a chicken. You're not a chicken. You're a duck. No. I was raised by chickens. They told me I'm a chicken my whole life. I'm just an old chicken saved by... No, anyway, I'm just an old chicken. Sorry, I got ahead of myself a little. I'm just an old chicken. He said, you're not a chicken. Let's compare a few things now. He said, look at my beautiful broad bill here. Look at the bill on you. Yeah, yeah, I'm comparing duck things to duck things. Yeah, yeah. He said, look at your feet. See those webs? Do you see those same feet on the chickens? Look at my feet. Let's compare duck feet to duck feet. You got webs? Yeah. Yeah, I got webs just like you. You're not a chicken. You're a duck. Maybe you're... Can you see the mind renewal process? Can you see what's going on here? But it takes a duck to teach a duck. It takes the Holy Spirit to teach a spirit of God. And he's going to compare spiritual things. The spiritual, I want to go one step further. He's going to compare Jesus to you. As he is, so are you. He said, oh no, I could never do like Jesus. Mm-hmm. And see, now the life that the Father had in himself, he gave for the Son to have in himself. And then the Son, he quickens, he gives that life to whosoever he wills. So let's compare spiritual to spiritual. The life that's in Jesus is the exact same life that quickened you from death to life. Same spirit. Let's check that one off, okay? Same life. Let's check that one off. All right, he says, yeah, but Jesus had the Holy Ghost. So, you know, he had power. God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. But now, wait a minute. Jesus says, now, you're going to be my witnesses. Now, don't leave Jerusalem until you've received the Holy Ghost, because you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. See, so we got the same life. We have the same Holy Spirit. Yeah, but he is seated. But You know the yabbits? I've told you, be careful. You can be attacked by whole herds of yabbits. They're horrible little creatures. They're full of doubt. Yabbit. I've had yabbits on the right and yabbits on the left. Anyway. Yabbit. The Lord, I mean, he is seated. God has highly exalted him. I mean, you know, he's at the right hand of God, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. I'm, you know, who am I? But see, the Holy Spirit revealed to Paul, and Paul revealed to us in Ephesians, that you were quickened together with him, raised up together with him, and seated in the same place in heaven in him. Far above. Can you see that? What? Thank God for our pastor. He was getting it down to Jane, see the ball, see? And the way that story ends now with Chuck the duck, little by little, see, it's not instantaneous, but little by little, that duck kept renewing the mind of Chuck. He saw his bill was the same. Web feet were the same. He says, now, let me show you one other thing. Stretch out your wings. Get in the water with me, with fear and trembling. Chuck got in the water and he didn't sink. He floated just like the other duck. He said, you know, there's another thing that ducks can do that chickens can't do. Now you just get right beside me. You just do what I do. So that big old duck, here he goes, flapping them powerful wings, and he starts going across that water. The little Chuck, with fear and trembling, he starts flapping his wings. They go faster and faster, and then pretty soon they both lift off. You're not a chicken. You're a duck. You're made to soar. You're made to walk in a different realm. We've got to have this mind of Christ. We still haven't got to it here. We have the mind of Christ. We are to think the same way when you walk in a room and you see, you're to think the same thoughts he would think if he walked in the room. If a doctor said this is an impossible case, what do you think the mind of Christ would think about that? Nothing's impossible. See, but we're at the place where we know that. But it's not us yet. I have to remember that at this point. I am not that. What I mean is my mind is not renewed to it. But I'm telling you, it's getting better. Okay, I hate to say this part. I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. Yes, I am. Just double check. At Jim Martin's conference in April, I have, like everybody else, I have grown accustomed to prayer lines that don't work. And what I mean by that, I'm not saying that God's not there and that things don't happen. I was in one, Wednesday night? They prayed for my back, and I'm better still. Okay. But for the most part, I'm accustomed to people getting in the prayer line, and then next week, the same people get in the prayer line, and then the next week, you know, not always exactly the same. And I've watched it go on for years. But something, there's a renewing going on in my mind that for the it was different. At Jim Martin's conference this year when we were up there, and just so happened I did the first night service, and I don't do prayer lines all that often, but I did that night. I forget who had another day or two went by till the next prayer line. There was something adjusted. I was shocked when I saw some of the same people get back in the prayer line. And that's different for me. Because before that, I'm just kind of, well, okay, that's just the way it is. No, there's a renewing going on. Now, I didn't do like Smith. Y'all remember what Smith did, Smith Wigglesworth? He was praying. He had a prayer line, and this one guy was in it and said, didn't I pray for you last night? He says, you're already healed and too dumb to know it. Get off my stage. I didn't do that. How many's glad I didn't do that, okay? Alan, I didn't do that, okay? But I thought it. Not exactly that, but I mean, my mind is renewed enough to where I'm going, no, they got healed the other night. Back to 1 Corinthians 2. Y'all having a good time with it? Okay, verse 13 again. Let me just read it all again. It's so good. Starting in verse 12. Now we have received, now that you're born again, not the spirit of the world. You don't have a spirit from Adam in you, but the spirit which is of God. You are born of God's spirit, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Now, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's the Holy Ghost. He's, every time you spend time with him, you're going to be looking in the mirror, and it's you. Doesn't the mirror show you? But in this mirror, you see Christ, because that's who you really are. You're made in that image. And the Holy Ghost is going to be comparing Jesus things to you things. Because that's who, as he is, so are we in this world. Now, you want to keep looking in a natural mirror and see all your faults and your failings. And that's the I'm going to call that the devil's mirror. You got that? Devil wants you to think that's who you are. No. You are who this book says you are. This book, the New Testament, is the perfect law of liberty. This is who you are, Christ in you. Okay? The image, the hope of glory. So, verse 13 again. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But notice this. The natural man, and that was Peter, that was the 11, that was John when he was talking to them. They were not born again yet. They loved Jesus. They were following Jesus. But they had no spirit in them that could understand spiritual things. Not really. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. And that's why he said what he said. I have many things yet to teach you. But you can't, you just can't bear, you have no capacity. You're like the child, the five-year-old child. You have no legs to reach the pedals. There's nothing you can do in the natural. I have to give you a spirit born of God in order for you to even comprehend these things. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. By the way, don't waste your time trying to teach spiritual things to sinners. There's only one message to the sinner. That's Christ and him crucified. Repent and believe the gospel. That's the only message. Because until they get a new spirit on the inside of them, they don't have any capacity to understand spiritual things. So the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Get this. Neither can he know them. I bet that was so frustrating for Peter standing there. Say on, Lord. I'm standing right here. But the truth is, until he was reborn with a new spirit, no matter how hard he tried, he cannot know these things. It's like the two-dimensional creature in the hula hoop. He can't know them. He has no capacity. There's no depth and no height. There's no frame of reference at all to understand that type of thing. But for the three-dimensional creature, it's as easy as pie. When we start understanding just that, miracles are going to be flowing like water. This is so easy for our God. There is nothing. It's as easy for our God to cure cancer as taking that as a third dimensional creature lifting that one over the edge of the hula hoop. It's nothing more difficult than that. He said to me years ago, he says, you're going to look back on these days. You're going to look back and laugh that you ever thought it was so hard. It's easy for our God. And Isaiah, he says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Well, yeah, he's from another realm. He's from that maybe 11, I don't know how many dimensions, but he's from a different realm than this one. And he's able to do things that our natural mind, now see, we still have the natural mind. Our natural mind may never understand how you get grape into H2O. But our natural mind can sure work with the Spirit. I can carry the water pots. I can pour the water. I can dip it out and bear it to the governor. I can do all of that. And that's the role of the mind. Right. See? the teaching Wednesday night, talking about Philip. Here he had a great revival in Samaria, all kinds of signs and wonders, you know. Now, most of us today, we'd start our television ministry, and and it's Philip International now, you know. But he's humble. He's listening. And then, so the Holy Spirit says, he doesn't tell him a whole lot. He just says, now start walking south. Oh, okay. Just starts walking south and go to this certain desert place in between this city and this city. Oh, okay. That's all he knows. Now, but I'm a great mighty evangelist. Didn't you see the signs and the wonders and the miracles that were done? Aren't you going to tell me the whole thing? Nope, just walk south. Go to a desert. Oh, that's great. Go to a desert place in between these two cities. Then he sees that wealthy Ethiopian there. He says, now join yourself to that chariot. Before it's over, he leads that Ethiopian to Christ and gets him baptized. But then when two went down in the water, when the Ethiopian came up, it says he couldn't find Philip anymore. Spirit of the Lord had caught Philip away. I love Trinity Airlines, don't you? I'm eager to get on Trinity Airlines here now. He could come up out of the water. And Philip was found at Azotus. If you look it on a map, it's several miles away. And when he got there, he didn't start buying trinkets. Said he preached the gospel. Amen. Oh, man, we're in for a good time, see? We're in for a good time. Now, see, Philip doesn't have to... Philip, the mind of Philip, does not have to understand. See, if that's not almost a perfect example of lifting somebody over the edge of the hula hoop, Philip does not have to understand the physics of how God does that. He just has to say, be it unto me according to thy word. Whatever you want, I'm here. You want to put me in Azotus, we're gone. See, that's putting your hand into the hand of the Spirit. That's the mind yielding. You can say, go south, I'm going south. You say, join myself to that car, I'm going to join myself to that car. Whatever you say, that's what I do. Boy, I'm telling you, untold miracles are about to be unleashed. Okay. Our part really is pretty easy. Obedience, you know. Verse 14 again. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. He can't know them because they are spiritually discerned. This is why Pastor Dave so eloquently taught us the importance of praying in other tongues. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto man, but unto God. Howbeit, no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speak in mysteries. And Dave would say, how many of you think that while those mysteries are being communicated, you are explaining mysteries to God? No. God is explaining mysteries to you. It is exactly this passage. He is that teacher has come. You have, how did Dave say it? He says, you have sat down in the classroom of God. And the finely dressed gentleman at the chalkboard, the one doing the teaching, that is the Holy Spirit. Now, he is communicating this understanding. He's teaching spirit to spirit. That's why it's boring for your natural mind. Your natural mind has to sit basically outside the curtain of the Holy of Holies. It's, you know, bring your Bibles, give it something to do. Let your mind read your Bible while you're praying in other tongues. That's better than Field and Stream. But anyway. But anything will work. Just let your spirit continue praying in other tongues, because it's being edified, it's being taught, it's being educated. And as your spirit understands spiritual things, chuck the duck again, as it understands the things that your mind can understand, it'll peek through the veil and say, hey, check this out. And that's when you get a revelation. Whew. It's not always that it comes from God. It can. But most of the time, it's your spirit communicating best it can to your natural soul the things of the Spirit of God. Dave says that's why it'll take you sometimes 5 days. I would have one of those happen driving the trucks. I remember the first teaching vision I ever had. We don't have time for me to go through it today. It was real simple, but it was life-changing to me. And it was real. And It happened just like Dave said. This was one of the very first ones. Now, we didn't have cell phones in those days. I know that blows your mind, you young people. But I had to wait till I got to a payphone. Payphone, next truck stop with a payphone, put the quarters in and everything. And I'm trying to call Sue, and I'm trying to explain what this with my natural mind, this vision, this understanding that came in an instant. And Dave would teach us, he says, your spirit's like the hard drive of a computer. It's able to process all of this information really fast. But your mind is more like the monitor. It can only bring up one screen at a time, you know. And I'm trying to communicate this to Sue, praying tongues, clouds, man, there was desert lines and words, faith. Honey, are you okay? Did you get some bad coffee? I said, oh, my spirit's got it, my mind doesn't, I'll call you later, bye. It was about 3 days before I could communicate that thing. It took my mind, I had to process it and process it and process it. Today I can communicate it pretty well. But boy, it was exactly like my spirit got it in an instant. Whew, I got this. Man, working that through the natural mind was tough. And now I'm seeing there's going to be things that we're never going to understand with the natural mind. I'm seeing that so clear. Philip, he could not stand. If Philip himself could somehow stand here, he could not tell you the physics of how he went from the Ethiopian baptism to Azotus. He can't tell you from that realm how God did it. But he can sure tell you God did it. See? That's all we need to be. We've got to put our hands, our mind has got to yield and come to that place of obedience. You say, go south, I'm going south. Go to the desert, I'm going to the desert. You want to take me to Ethiopia, or you want to take me to Azotus, you want to, whatever you do, I'm here to serve you. That's the mind of Christ. See, we haven't even quite got to it yet. Verse 14 again, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Whew. But he that is spiritual, hello, look at, that's you. He's not talking about, he's just talking you're born again. He that is spiritual, as you're maturing in these things, now it says judges all things, but it's really discern. You discern all things. Yet he himself is judged or discerned of no man. The more you mature in your spirit, the stranger the world thinks you are. Now you can be strange without being mature spiritually. I'm not talking about that. But they'll start saying about you, well, never man spake like this man. You'll start thinking with the mind of Christ, talking from that realm, and natural man will think you're strange. They can't understand you. They can't figure you out. Okay? Now, it starts with even righteousness. Peter talks about, you know, the world is still getting drunk and having their parties and reveling and doing all of that stuff, and the first witness is, you don't do that anymore. You know, righteousness. They see you're strange. They see you're different, okay? But then there's another level beyond that. They saw that with Jesus. Jesus didn't join with them, okay? And they're rioting and stuff, you know? So they saw that in him too. He walked a holy life. But then they saw something else. The blind saw, the lame walk, the deaf heard. And they're going, this man is different. What was it? The guy says, since the world began, has it never been recorded that anybody opened the eyes of one born blind? Not born blind, see. But Jesus looks at that. What's the mind of Christ? Nothing is impossible. Whew. Okay. Can you believe we still haven't got to the verse, the foundation verse? But he that is spiritual judges or discerns all things. But you're going to do it with a different mind. He himself is judged of no man. They're not going to be able to figure. They couldn't figure Jesus out. They're not going to be able to figure you out. Now here it is, verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? See, we're not communicating mysteries to God. He already knows everything. But we, through that process, leave this verse in the setting. This process, while you are being taught these supernatural mysteries by God the Holy Ghost to your reborn spirit, hour by hour, you have the mind of Christ. You're being transformed. You're being renewed. This is be you no longer conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I've been thinking about, I have the mind of Christ. And I've been thinking along these lines. Now, if Jesus walked in, well, he did. He'd walk into rooms. Let's talk about the day he walked into the synagogue, and there was a church, their version of church. He walks into synagogue, and there's a woman bowed over for 18 years. Now, I assume she's been going to church, synagogue, for 18 years. So what does that tell us? These ministers of God at that point in the synagogue, they've watched this lady come and go for 18 years. I don't know if they ever prayed for her or not. Even if they did, it didn't help. So you get to the place, kind of like I was with the prayer lines, 18 years, this is normal. This is just the way, and see, the whole world thinks like that. This is normal, this is just part of life. You get sick, one person gets bowed over, another person doesn't get bowed over. It's just the way it is. We don't know why, you know, and you, the best the world has to offer in religion is just glorify God in your sickness, which is better than nothing, I guess. But Jesus walks in with a different mind. Amen. He walks in, he sees that woman, and he, you notice that phrase he uses in there? She is a daughter of Abraham. There is a, even then, there was a covenant between God and Abraham. And one of those statements in that covenant, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I will bless thy bread, I will bless thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. So Jesus walks in with his mind. Now everybody else has been watching this woman for 18 years, and it's normal. Let's say they had a prayer line every week. I don't know whether they did or not. But if they did, it didn't help. And I hate to say this, a lot of prayer lines are like that. I watched the same people for 10, 15 years keep getting in the line. But Jesus walks in with a whole different mind. He walks in and he goes, this is a daughter of Abraham. She has a covenant. Now, you got something much bigger than what she, much better than what she had. You have, by his stripes, you were healed. Now, for you, it's already been done. In a way, it's not even faith anymore. It's fact. This has happened. It is done. It is accomplished. Okay? He walks in, and we're supposed to walk in like this. He goes, no, that is not normal. That's not what God calls acceptable. This is not God's plan for people, especially a daughter of Abraham. We'd say especially a child of God, but really, it's he died even for Adam. That's why you can lay hands on sinners and get them healed. We'll teach more on that. But it's these signs shall follow them that believe. Well, if you're the believer, who is the sign to? It's to the unbeliever. You lay hands on the unbelieving sick and they recover. Then you tell them about Jesus. Boy, that is not the doctrine I grew up with. I don't know about you. That's not what I grew up with. We had the mind of Christ, see? He walks in, he sees her. Now, he was able to discern, and we're going to be able to discern by the operation of... He saw that it was a spirit. Remember, she had a spirit of infirmity. Man, he gives that command. He doesn't leave that service and leave that woman like that. And we're not going to leave people that way either. We have the mind of Christ. We think like him. We've gotten past all the religious junk that's told you you're a chicken. You're not an old chicken saved by grace. You've been remade into the image of the Son. You've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And power's come upon you. And when you lay hands on the sick, they recover. I know I'm preaching loud over here. When the preach comes on me, I get loud. I'm sorry. I love it. Young man listening, but going like this. I get loud. I love it. I wish I'd have heard this when I was his age. He's going to be a different type. The world isn't ready for these kids, I'm telling you. Actually, the world needs them desperately. We have the mind of Christ. So Jesus walks in. He sees this. Instantly, he knows, this is not the will of my Father. I'm not going to leave that woman possessed by no devil. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And that spirit ran like a scalded dog. She still couldn't straighten herself up. Did you notice that? I'm not turning to it right now. So that spirit is left. But listen, if your body's been locked in one position for 18 years, she said she could not in her own raise herself up. But it said he laid his hands on her. Now notice how it's worded. And she was made straight. Now that's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. See, and that same Holy Ghost is on you, in you, ready. I had that one service with Jared over here. He was like a sprinter at the gate, just waiting for the command. Give the command, I'm ready, I'm ready. And that's the way the Holy Ghost is. He's waiting on us to grow up and have this mind of Christ. At least come this far today. Would you agree with me that Jesus is the King? Yes. When you go in His name, are you not bringing the word of the King? Yes. In Ecclesiastes, it says, where the word of the King is, there is power. Yes. Now, if a king picks Helena out and says, I want you to go to that place and tell him, the captives are free. Amen. Now, when Helena goes and stands in the I have come in the name of the King. And here's the word of the King. Captives, you are free. Where the word of the King is, he didn't have to. It's the word of the King. She brought the word of the King. And that's what we do when we preach the gospel. We're bringing the word of the King. And where the word of a king is, there is power. Glory to God. That is the mind of Christ. He's taking us past normal. Getting us out of the chicken yard. I'm tired of pecking with the chickens. Tired of pecking the ground to get a little sustenance, you know. Man, he's bringing us out. We're going to fly on eagle's wings, the Bible says. Rise up and become who we are. Have the mind of Christ. Walk in and understand we're from a different realm. The laws of physics of this world do not restrict what is possible for us. I don't believe in incurable diseases. I don't believe in incurable birth defects. Because Christ doesn't. It's in their own purpose. The man born blind and the man born lame from his mother's womb. That's birth defects. And for the most part, other than mechanical help, you know, artificial limbs and stuff like that, for the most part, science has no help for birth defects like that. Where do you, you know, go? Someone born blind. Come on. But go back to the simplicity of the hula hoop. For God to open the eyes of the blind is no more difficult than reaching down and getting that little two-dimensional creature. Just pick them up and put them on the other side. Mathematically, I have a book about this. Mathematically, they can just come up with all kinds of scenarios. Did you know that a fourth dimensional creature could remove your appendix and never have to open you up? Your mind goes tilt, and that's what I mean. Our natural mind just can't go there. We may never really understand that, okay? The good news is we don't have to. All we have to be is obedient. As the instructions come, we just do what the instructions are. The how we leave to Him. Don't have to know how. I don't think a duck really understands flight. You probably couldn't get a duck to draw on a blackboard equations about thrust and lift and gravity and How do you overcome gravity? You got to have so much speed. You got to have so much thrust. I don't think a duck understands any of that. It just flies. That's us. I don't have to understand how the grape gets in the water. I just draw the water out to the governor. Let the Holy Spirit do the work. He's the one that understands that. Now, understand. Let's look at your Bible one more time. It says that last sentence in that chapter. We have the mind of Christ. I don't think it means that each one of us is 100% developed in that. But leave it in the process. By this process, you have access to the mind of Christ. If that's true, and it is, you tell me what's not possible. Nothing is impossible. I recommend a rededication to the prayer closet. We got a ways to go, see. But where we have attained, let us therefore walk. And you've come a long way. You haven't been here all these years. You're not the same that you was 20 years ago, 15. You're not the same. You're not going to take the glory when the miracles start happening through your fingers, are you? You're not going to sell the anointing, are you? See, you've come a long way. You're going to give him all the glory. We understand that, right?